In Israel, Palestine, there's a large body of water called the Dead Sea. This lake receives nearly all of its water from the Jordan River as it flows southward from the Sea of Galilee. The Dead Sea is surrounded by desert and is a welcome break to the brown and desert barren scene. However, this seeming oasis in the midst of the desert land is deceiving. The Dead Sea is an endpoint for water flow, which means water flows into the Dead Sea, but doesn't flow out of the Dead Sea. The only way that water can leave is through the process of evaporation. When water evaporates, it leaves behind its nutrients. So in the case of the Dead Sea, the process of evaporation has left behind lots and lots of salt. For thousands of years, the minerals have been becoming more and more concentrated in the Dead Sea to the point that it is now one of the world's saltiest bodies of water, about 9.6 times as salty as the ocean. Now, if you remember back to your school science experiments, you may recall that salt in water makes it especially buoyant. When I visited the Dead Sea back in 2012, I enjoyed a swim in the Dead Sea, or should I say, a float. It was a unique experience because without any effort on my part, I was able to float on top of the water. However, the high density of salt, while fun for swimming and floating, is not conducive to life forms. Plants and animals cannot flourish with such a high concentration of salt, which is one of the reasons why this body of water received the name Dead Sea. It's curiously devoid of life forms, although home to some hardy microscopic bacteria and fungi. But there's also another reason why this body of water received the name Dead Sea. For the wayward traveler, the Dead Sea is a welcome sight. At first glance, it seems like the answer to the dangerous, barren, waterless desert. But drinking from the water in the Dead Sea can kill you. Its high salt content dehydrates the body rather than replenishing it. In one moment, a place that seems to promise rejuvenation can become deadly. However, to the west of the Dead Sea is a natural reserve called En Gedi. En Gedi is home to spring-fed streams that flow with water year-round. The water is fresh and good for drinking, making En Gedi home to various plants, birds, and animal species. Compared to the neighboring Dead Sea, En Gedi is teeming with life, especially wild goats. It is truly an oasis, a place of life in the midst of a barren and inhospitable land. The Oakton Church of the Brethren has decided to take on the label of an oasis. And what a lovely image. An oasis implies a place of relief or refuge from the outside world. It's a place where there is a change of pace, a place that looks different than its surroundings, and maybe, like En Gedi, a few wild goats. But to truly take on this identity isn't a simple feat. Paul, in his writing to the church in Corinth, recognizes that to quarrel and to focus on differences is an innately human trait. It comes from our need to place things in categories, and so we are primed to divide things in ways that are sometimes helpful and sometimes not. For instance, my ability to categorize my wants and my needs help me to make wiser spending decisions. However, my tendency to place people in categories is often problematic and sometimes even harmful. The Corinthians divided themselves by who had led them to the faith. Some in the community said, "I follow Paul," while others, "I follow Apollos." But Paul reminded the Corinthians that the tendencies to act on jealousy and division are the traits of people who live without the Spirit. The Corinthians were acting just like everyone else in the world, quarreling, separating themselves rather than seeing the bigger vision of what God is doing. While we tend to favor either the one who plants or the one who waters, God simply sees gardening. I love gardening. For several summers in Hagerstown, Tim and I had a small plot at the community garden downtown, and as spring approached, we would begin to map out our plot. With limited space, we had to be very intentional about what we put where and when we planted what. Each spring, we would plant and tend and water and weed, aiding our garden's ability to produce. However, there was always a point in the summer where we had to leave the garden to its own devices. Whether it was for vacation or annual conference, going out of town for any extended period of time meant that the garden would be on its own to hopefully receive just enough rain, just enough sun, and stay free of vermin. Sometimes we would return to a bumper crop, and sometimes we would return to browning plants and bug-eaten leaves. Likewise, Paul compares the work of those living by the Spirit to gardeners, who each play their part, but who recognize that there is something else that participates in the growth and cannot be harnessed or used. While Paul may plant the seeds and Apollos may water, it is God who gives the growth. We partner in God's work, but we are ultimately in God's service. As God's servants, Paul and Apollos play distinct roles that are complementary, not in competition. As co-workers, they work together in the field. And alongside God, the field grows and flourishes. It's a place of life and growth, a sanctuary. An oasis usually gets its name because it is a place of life that is surrounded by places that are barren and draining. An oasis is therefore different than its surrounding environment. An oasis revives rather than destroys, nourishes instead of starves, waters instead of dehydrates. It's bigger, more important work than we may have first realized, to be different, to be a sanctuary by more than just name. This is sacred hard work because we are surrounded by a wasteland of divisiveness, of name-calling, ripping, gloating, demeaning, fear, hatred, and bitterness. And yet we are often sucked in thinking that if we drink from these waters, we will receive what we need. Our natural inclination is to divide and separate, and that is nourished by politicians, religious leaders, and social pressures. They invite us to the shores of the Dead Sea and say, "Drink from the water. It will nourish you." It may seem promising at first, like any water in the desert, but in the end, it cannot give you what you need. In fact, it will dehydrate your soul and starve your faith. The truth of the matter is, nothing but the Spirit can nourish you. Nothing but the living water can truly satisfy. And the gardener alone provides the growth. The oasis of En Gedi, just to the side of the Dead Sea, reminds us that interdependent biodiversity is healthy. But an oasis is not a perfect image in this case. An oasis comes naturally. The springs feed the land, produce vegetation, which can then feed the animals. An oasis exists with minimal effort. But God is calling us to be co-workers tending to a field. And farming is hard work. While I myself didn't grow up on a farm, my childhood home was across from a field of cows. I remember watching the caretaker of the cows call them in to eat and occasionally track down the cow that had masterfully escaped through a weak spot in the fence. I also watched my family care for their citrus farm in Central Florida. My father tells stories about not only tending to the orange groves, but also preparing rabbits for food, attending to new calves, and making sure you got out of the bull's way. Likewise, I'm not saying that to be an oasis in our ever-dividing world is easy. In fact, it's painfully hard work. There are times where, yes, we simply provide respite from a busy, broken world. But there's also a lot of work that goes into creating and maintaining such a space. Sometimes the weeds of divisiveness sneak in and threaten our independence. Sometimes the harder seasons of life make sunlight and rain scarce, hindering our vitality. Yet we must also remember that not everything is dependent on us. We labor, but we are also faithful servants, entrusting God to do what God does. While we plant and we water, we do this through the eyes of faith, hoping for produce. It is God who gives the growth, because it is God who can see a tree in a seed, life in death, streams flowing in a desert. En-Gedi is a small body of water compared to the Dead Sea. It's not easy to find or easy to get to, but it bubbles with living water. It overflows with life that is truly life. Its cool waters can satisfy. Its nutrients nourish our parched souls. As we plant and water our field, invited to be co-workers in God's service, we must look different than the world. Cultivating an oasis for God's love to flourish and blossom. We are God's people in God's sanctuary. And here may we be refreshed, restored, and nourished by God's love in our midst, and let it overflow. Amen.